It's good to be here at God's house. Glad to see all of you here. We'll be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Note a reminder of the men's retreat for February 21st, 22nd. If you're interested, please let me know after church. Brother Bill McKinn, Brother Raul, and Brother Justin are all going and interested, myself included. And so if you're 18 and older and would like to go to Venture Faith Camp for a men's retreat on February 21st, let me know after church so I can let them know tomorrow how many will be coming. It is a wonderful time, a good time of fellowship. Preaching is always good. I always enjoy it. And if you're available and would like to go, I think you'll enjoy it and have a good time as well. Brother David told me that the offering so far is above $600 for the family that their house got burnt down this past week. So I appreciate your church for opening up your heart. They had not yet finished counting everything, but it was already above $600. So that was a blessing. With that, appreciate again all of you that were involved in the Valentine's banquet. That was a wonderful event. It was put on by the youth, and I surely enjoyed myself. And I appreciate the efforts going into that. John chapter 1, verse 43. John chapter 1, verse number 43. Talking about the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus calls, and just here to tell you, he's still calling people today. He is in the business of calling. Probably some of the most aggravating calls anybody could ever get is when they get in a point of struggle and get behind on their bills, and they get those calls constantly, reminding them that they haven't caught up on the bills, and those are so tiresome and worrisome. I mean, they just get at you. I'm almost really convinced that people that are in that line of business must not have a heart, because a lot of people are really just struggling. I don't believe they really mean to get behind, like that. Some people do. Don't get me wrong, I know there's those that abuse, but some don't. But those calls can get troublesome, they get heavy, they weigh upon people, and cause all kinds of distress and disturbances. Well, I'll tell you, we're in debt. Yet when the Lord Jesus Christ calls, it's tender, it's sweet, it's wooing, it's touchy. And I'll tell you, he's calling today. And if we'll just open up our ears, the Bible says you with your spiritual, have a spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit said. And so this evening, as we look into a few passages of Scripture, we'll not tarry long. But first thing I want you to understand is that when Jesus calls, it's a call to follow. A call to follow. John chapter 1, verse 43, the Bible says there, in the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, finding Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. And I would say to you tonight that if you have been saved and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to follow him. Now we follow as kids that game, Follow the Leader. We played it. And have lots and lots of fun with it. Well, I tell you, we can have just as much fun following the Lord. There's no pitfalls where he's going to lead. There's no heartaches. There's no struggles that you cannot handle. And I tell you this, the storm runs out of rain, and he props the umbrella over us, and the night turns to day because he leads us. And when we go into the midst of those difficult hours, he does not leave us. He continues to lead and guides and directs our paths. So he's calling for us to follow him. Now it's a choice we have to make. On the left hand, there's blessings. On the right hand, there's curses. We're in a fork of road in our life that we've got to make some decisions. We need to learn to make decisions now that we can live with 10, 12, 15 years down the road. Because we don't always see the effects of decisions we make right now. Especially young people, if you're getting around to the age of marrying and looking for Mr. or Mrs. Wright and going into a union that you're going to enter into as husband and wife, you need to understand that those are the decisions that you make need to be able to live with. You need to be able to know that, hey, 10 years down the road, he or she's going to be a little different. You know, sometimes after the honeymoon, we find that out real quick. But I'm going to tell you, when two people love the Lord Jesus Christ and have the peace of God in their life, they can overcome even marital struggles and difficulties, and they can follow the Lord Jesus Christ and make out a marriage that is vibrant and flowing and loving and kind if they just surrender. Well, preacher, what happens if one is lost, one is saved? That's choices we make, and it's difficult. Don't get me wrong. I know it is. In business, we can have some business partners and have a good go at it. But I'm telling you, dear friend, if you get into business with somebody that thinks different than you and lives different than you and their background is different from you, it can cause some serious problems. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is in this for us. He came to this earth to live and to die on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have to have a good example to follow in. And I'll tell you, we need to show our children and the teenagers of our church and our community that, hey, following Jesus is a good thing. Amen. It ends up on a good road. It ends up with blessings from on high, mercy drops that drop down around us. And when the difficult hour comes, we can accept it in peace. So there's a call to follow. And he's still calling. Follow me. Follow me. But unfortunately, the voice of this world, the voice of materialistic things, the sounds of society are crying out far louder than the Lord's calling. Sometimes I think we're just like it in the Bible. We look for him in earthquakes, we look for him in fire, we look for him in thunder, we look for him in the storm, but with a still small voice. We have to learn to hear his voice. He's got a distinct voice. A voice of truth. A voice of comfort. A voice of hope. A voice that is stilling of the storms and the calming of the seas in our life. Follow me. Follow me. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Verse number 28. We see another call of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How come is it so easy for us to hear the voice of society, the voice of direction coming from culture, and we hear it so loud, so strong, and we follow when the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'm telling you, I have not found one moment of rest when I'm tired and weary when I run to the Lord. And oh yes, I've made that choice. Oh yes, when he called and said, follow me. Hey, I didn't follow him right away, right straight away. I didn't come unto him like this verse says. And I'm going to tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard, dear friend. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you, we need a rest. rest, time of rest in the life which you live. We need the time where we can just come apart and be with the Lord, be with good fellowship with Christian people, be with good Christian families and good people that love you and care for you and pray for you and find that rest that we need, because I'm telling you, this whole world works at you. It pulls at you. When we get done at the end of the week, dear friend, if we had a spiritual picture that we could see, we would be torn and tattered. That's why church service is so important. That's why being in the house of God, around God's people, around the Word of God, singing praises to the Lord is so important. Because if we could really see that spiritual picture, how we really look, we're tired. We're wore down. This world tells us we're going the wrong direction. This world tells us that we're crazy. This world tells us that, hey, we are like Brother John Mark said today, we're mad. That's what the world says. There's something wrong with you folks. You're believing in a Jesus you can't even see? You believe in a Jesus who let himself be put on the cross of Calvary? He didn't have the power. Listen, they don't know the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have no understanding of it. Why? Because so many Christians are not following. So many Christians are not coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find it so easy to run out into other directions and try to find help. What are we supposed to do when we come in? Verse number 29, the Bible says there that we are to learn of Him. He's calling of us to learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. The hunting societies of our world, they have a saying, and I don't know exactly which one coined it first, but we speak their language. I know who's that. You know which one, Brother Mike, says that? Primos, I think that sounds right. We'll go with that. If it's not Primos, we're sorry. We speak their language. And they make these calls that animals hear. And they come because they hear the language. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, they know my voice. They hear it. And they follow me. Hey, he speaks my language. When we're talking about God, we're talking about somebody, a creator who is all powerful, who's all knowing, who's everlasting from everlasting, has always been, will always be, and is so great a God that He created everything that is around us, and just with the voice and the power that's in Him, He breathed into the nostrils of man. And brought forth a living soul, yet He speaks my language. He speaks in a way that I can understand. That's the God we serve, church. Don't you understand something? He wasn't speaking English back then. He was speaking God language. Psalms 19 says that His the creation crosses every language barrier. He speaks to me. He says, learn of me. There's a lot we can learn. A lot we can learn from the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest. Two times in these two verses, 28 and 29, that He says, I'll give you rest. Ye shall find rest. You know why we're so tired and beat down, church? We try to do it in our own flesh. In our own might, in our own strength. That's why we get so tired. That's why we get so drunk down and get so beat down. That's why we get so down and out, because we try to do it within ourselves. We need to get to the point and understand that we are what we are simply because of Him. Jesus calls. Follow me. Come to me. Learn of me. John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. Verse number 9. We see another call of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, actually verse 4, I'm sorry. John 15, 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Jesus calls it, follow me. Come to me. Learn of me. Abide in me. You know what happened to the church of Galatia? Paul said this to them. You did run well. Who hath hindered you? What happened? They didn't abide. They didn't abide. You know, sometimes I believe that sometimes, Drew, we get too big for our spiritual britches. We get to thinking we can do it on our own. We get to thinking, well, I've been at this now 12, 15, 13, 14, 25 years. I've got it all figured out. I mean, I've done followed him. I've come unto him. I've learned of him. I've taught. And we step out there, and before we know it, we make a mess of things. Why do you think we find so many godly people that get caught up in immorality? Either sexual, financial, or otherwise. It's not the house of God. They're doing it themselves. No need to abide anymore. I'm going to tell you something. If we abide in Christ, it'll keep us away from a whole lot of stuff. It'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. It'll keep us in the midst of joy and peace and love and temperance and long-suffering, forbearance. It'll keep us in the middle of assurance if we'll abide in Christ. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. But we got to check up, look at ourselves, and say, hey, what's going on in my life? Am I barren? If I'm barren, perhaps I'm not abiding. You understand something? That fruit doesn't fall every day of the year either. It has seasons. It has seasons. But I know when I'm not right in a relationship. I know when there's a problem between my sons and I know when there's a problem between my daughters and I know when there's a problem between my wife and I know. And as sure as I know when there's not a problem, that I'm not right with one of them, I know when I'm not right with God. I know. What happened? I didn't abide. I got too big for a spiritual bridge, so I started running off by myself, trying to run this race on my own. And what happens? Wake up in the muck and the mire. And yes, pick me back up, put my feet on the solid rock. What happens, church, if we follow Him, we come unto Him, we learn of Him, and we abide in Him? We'll be involved. We will be involved. With me, if you would, in John chapter 17. Flip over to John chapter 17, verse 18. John 17, 18, the Bible says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent thee into the world. We're going to be involved, church. We're going to be involved with people and people's lives. We're not going to make a difference unless we are involved. And yes, I'm going to tell you, we run a great risk of being hurt. We run a great risk of being abused and misused. We run a great risk of having our feelings hurt when we get involved with people. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, it's well worth it. Well, how do you know, Pastor? How do you know it's well worth it? because I've read Philippians chapter number 1. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live how? To live like Christ would live. And when it's all said and done, we gain. What will a man do to gain the whole world? They do a whole lot of stuff, don't we? To gain stuff. He's called us to follow, to come, to learn, to abide. And when we do that, we are going to be involved. Why? Because he said, Father, just like you sent me, I'm sending them into this world. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20, verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Why you reckon you have to tell them again? They must not have been in heaven. That's the kind of God we serve. He speaks again. Speaks again. I'll tell you, it's amazing reading the book of Jonah. How Jonah was told to do something, the word of the Lord came to him, but Jonah didn't obey, went his own way, got into a ship, bought him a ticket, and got out there, and we know the story. He got thrown overboard there. You know what happens? And the word of the Lord came again. You know what's the amazing thing? When it came again, it was the same message. Same message. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. So my Father sent me, even so sent I you. We're going to be involved. Church, how can I know if I'm not following, I'm not coming unto the Lord, I'm not learning of the Lord, I'm not abiding in the Lord? I will not be involved. You know what happens? Apathy sits in. You know what happens? I look around and says, well, that's just not for me. And Jesus said, I speak unto you again. I'm sending you, just like I was sent. Well, church, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient, even unto death. And the power of God raised him up on the third day. And he sits at the throne of God, making intercession for you and I. And just like he said to them, peace be unto you. And preacher, I just can't do it. Galatians chapter 2. I've tried and I failed. I can't. I keep making a mess of things. Galatians chapter 2. Verse number 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Is that past, present, or future? I am. We've got to always live that way. Sometimes we think about dying to ourselves 7-8 years ago, dying to self, and we think that cuts it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Past, present, or future? Present. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the what? The flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do we stay involved? We stay crucified. We stay crucified with Christ, allowing him to live through me. In other words, what he wants overrules and overrides what I want. In other words, he calls the shots in my life. In other words, he has priority. He has veto power. I've surrendered all. That's where we got to get. look like it, sort of like this. We'll close with this illustration. If it falls and don't hit home, it won't be the first one or the last one, I'm sure. When I was in Greece, I blew out my Achilles tendon and I had to go get surgery. And the doctor, he told me, fix the butcher to sleep, we're going to cut your leg open, we're going to take some pigskin, we're going to wrap up your Achilles, and it's going to be better. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to give you three commands. He had an IV in, he had these three tubes, looked like milk in the thing. And I was wondering if it was skimmed milk, fat-free, or whatever, but he had it look really gooey. Three commands. He said, remember these commands. I said, yes, sir, what are they? He said, open your mouth, stick your tongue out, take a deep breath. And I heard him say this, good night. I was gone. I was gone. Next thing I remember, open your mouth, stick your tongue out, take a deep breath. And I did exactly what I was told while I was waking up. I was completely under his control. Completely. And that's where we have to be with God. He's done put the ceremony in the Holy Spirit of God. He's given us commands. All we have to do is obey them. You know what? I could have disobeyed the commands and still had that tube down inside my mouth. But I didn't. I had no control over that. I was surrendered to that doctor. And we need to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in the same manner. As he gives the commands, we just follow. I didn't question him. What do you mean, open my mouth, Doc? I'm not a child. Why should I stick my tongue out, Doc? What do I need a deep breath for, Doc? I got oxygen sticking in my nose. There was no question. He gave me the commands and said, good night. I remember that as clear as day. I remember him giving me the commands, waking up. But none of the surgery, I remember. I remember coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I remain dead in Christ and surrender to him, I don't remember all this other stuff in between. It's all him. The next command I'm going to hear is come up hither. And I'm going home to be with the Lord. It's important, church. Are you involved? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim's going to come and sing. What page, brother? 264. New business with the Lord.
Oh, for the services Wednesday night. Choir practice right after the conclusion. Men's retreat, if you would like to go, see the pastor tonight so he can let them know of the venture faith. Let's close tonight with prayer. Brother Darrell Stacy, would you lead us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight to come into your house and worship you. We just ask, Lord, that you help us as we take your word, Lord, and we apply it to our hearts and our everyday life. We ask, Lord, that you be with those that leave here tonight, carry them home safely, and lead them through the week. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. These things we ask.